that bad decision, and some of you have even looked at me and said, I don't know how in the world I got out of that, or I don't know how in the world this didn't happen, or I don't know how in the world I even lived what I went through, but I'm glad that God came looking for you right in that moment, right in that time, and he offered you a gift, and that you accepted that gift, and ever since then you've been a child of his. I'm thankful that Jesus came looking for me when I was so unworthy, when I didn't have anything to offer. Revelation chapter number 3. Good to be in God's house. Man, this is the most lighthearted that I've felt all day. It's just been one of those pressure kind of days. And I'm just so thankful to be in the house of God in my place of refuge. I'll be completely honest with you tonight. I didn't even feel like coming to church tonight. Did not feel like coming to church. I went home and laid across the bed. And Autumn said, you better go get in the shower. And I said, I don't know that I can. And she said, well, we got out of the car, and she said, you want me to carry you to church? I said, only if you're going to be Joyce Myers and teach tonight, too, and I will do that. But I really didn't. Tonight is not a night that I felt like coming to church. And I said, and I'm responsible for going and trying to feed others. But I'm glad that God always prepares everything that we need. He puts it in motion for us. And you know what? He's the same God, whether I have a high-pressure day or whether I'm sitting at the coast, because Christians don't go to the beach, and whether I'm sitting at the coast watching the waves roll in or whatever, God is the same God no matter what. No matter what circumstance my life is in, God is the same God. Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 14. Again, we're going back to the church of Laodicea. We're looking in to what makes us, or what can make us as Christians, become lukewarm. Man, I want to be hot for God. I want to be on fire. I want to be to where everybody knows that there's something different. There's something exciting in my life. There's something in my life that is causing an excitement and a joy inside that this world can't give, because so many times in this life, circumstances ought to make us to where we're unhappy. It ought to make us depressed. It ought to make us to where we're not having the joy that we should be. But I believe that if we get into a place to where we're on fire for God, where we're living that hot Christian life, I believe that we'll be in a place that others will see the difference in us, even when we're going through those times, even when we're in the middle of that struggle. Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. Remember the first night when we looked at the church of Laodicea, we talked about works and how sometimes we get to doing so many works for God. And I believe that you can be in a lukewarm state and be working for God. I believe there's been times in my life when I was working for God, but I was lukewarm. I wasn't doing it with the passion that I should be. The second night when we looked at the church of Laodicea, we looked at verse number 17, because thou sayest, I'm rich. And here in a minute, they're going to say that they have need of nothing. That says, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And when we get to the place where we don't think that we need anything, we might even get to the place where we think we don't need God. And I believe that sometimes some of the trials that come in my life and some of the hardships that come in my life is God bringing me to a realization, if you can't do this without me, you better pick your eyes back up to where you need to be. Verse number 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art rich, wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with the eye salve, that thou mayest see. Verse number 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Tonight I want us to look at verse number 19, and I want you to see what God is saying to us in his word. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Has God ever chastised you? Has God ever took you to the woodshed? I've been to the woodshed so many times in my life, physically and spiritually, that I know exactly what happens at the woodshed. Now, coming up, you know, my parents, they did not beat us, but they did enforce their rules, and if it took a little, we'll call it a little spanking to be politically correct, but sometimes I don't know if it's a little spanking or not, but it took a little spanking to get my attention. And I can remember my mama. Did any of you have a good old circle whipping? I've had some good old circle whippings. I don't know why I thought it was a good idea to put my hand back there, because I've got more meat back there than what my hand has on it. But I had them good old circle whippings, you know, running in a circle while you was getting whipped, trying to run away from it. And I can remember my mom telling me, "Joshua, it hurts me more than it hurts you for me to give you a spanking." And I thought, there's no possible way that it hurts you more than it hurts me. But now that I have children, and now that my last resort, it's like I try everything in the world that I can possibly do to keep from giving my girls and my son a spanking. My son's 15 now, and he thinks he's probably too big for a spanking. But if it came down to it, I promise you I would spank him if he needed spanking. But, you know, they got little things in their house now, you know, whether it be phones or whatever, that I can take away from them. It hurts them a lot worse than a spanking does anyway. But if my son needed a spanking, I would still give him a spanking. And my girls, man, there's something about my girls that when they do something that's wrong, I mean, my first reaction may be anger. My first reaction may be, you know, I can't believe you did that. And then as I begin to talk to them and begin to teach them and begin to show them, if they will break and if they'll give me that look with their eyes and they're giving me, you can almost see that they are sad that they have disappointed me. They look at me in the eyes and they're like, "Daddy, I'm sorry that I did that." I don't know if I could spank them if I had to after that. Once I get to them, but you know, there's times that I go to my children, they're in trouble, and the more that I try to correct them, the sassier they get. I have to go then take me a 10-minute break before I can come back and correct them, because I do get angry and I don't want to correct my children when I'm angry. I'm not saying I have never done that. I'm just saying I don't want to do that. But the reason, the point behind all of this is we chastise or we correct or we spank or whatever our children because we love them and because we want them to grow up to be the people that we want them to be. We want them to be respectful. We want them to have manners. We want them to listen. We want them to know that authority reigns sometimes in their life. We want them to not do things. Most of the time when I'm correcting my children, it's because they're doing something that's going to get them hurt, that's going to cause them trouble, that's going to cause them some kind of strife in their life. And I go to them, and I because I love them, I try to correct them through that. I try to help them to be a better person. And you know what? I believe tonight with all of my heart that we as Christians, just as verse number 19 says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Now, the many times, that God has corrected me, he has chastised me, he has taken me to the woodshed, I didn't enjoy it. It was not fun, and it hurt. But looking back, I know that God did it for my good. I know that God was correcting me because that he loved me. Because for one thing, in his word, he says, "I'm going to correct you because I love you." And his word tells me that he cannot lie to me. So if you're getting corrected from God, it is because that he loves you. And it is trying to keep you from, in some kind of protection. He's trying to keep you from getting hurt, from trying to be the person that he wants you to be in that right relationship with him. And sometimes, even though we don't like it, God, he chastises us, he rebukes us because that he loves us. Verse number 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Now look, I want you to see what he says. "Be zealous, therefore." Be joyful, be excited. "Therefore, and repent." I believe tonight that one reason that Christians become lukewarm on God, and the reason that we're not living that hot life for God, that we're not on fire for God the way that we should be, is because we don't repent the way that we should. We don't repent when things come in our life that shouldn't be there. We don't repent when God puts instructions on us and we fail to follow those instructions. We don't turn away from evil and we don't draw closer when God is trying to draw us closer. I want us to know tonight that sin can absolutely come into our lives at any time. I know that Christ saved me when I was 7 years old, and still today at 37, I still fight a battle with my flesh and I still fight a battle with sin. I still sometimes struggle with temptation that comes my way, with trying to be sure that I live the life that God has called me out to be. I believe that with all my heart that He has called me out to be a separate people. I believe that He wants me to come out from among the world and be separate. And sometimes, even though it don't always have to be, you know, the top 10 sins that we're talking about or that we think of, but it could just be that, you know, God has instructed me in His Word to have a daily relationship with Him, to pray with Him, to talk with Him, to study, to show myself approved. I know these things are in God's Word, and sometimes when I fail to do those things, that is also things that I need to repent of and change in my life. Now, 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 8, just to be sure that everybody's on the same page and that nobody's riding their holy high horse tonight, the Bible tells us if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So it doesn't matter who you are or how close you're trying to walk with God. Hey, if Billy Graham was here tonight and we asked him and he was truthful with us tonight, he would have to say that sin entered into his life. If whoever your favorite preacher is, whoever your hero of faith is, if you could ask them tonight, they would tell you that sin sometimes comes into our life. And that sin is something that destroys our relationship between us and God. I want you to look at 1 Timothy, or I'm going to read 1 Timothy 1:15 to you. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, this is Paul writing to Timothy. Paul is one of the people in the, I mean, he wrote as many books in the Bible, if not more than anybody else, and he established churches all over the place. And, I mean, you get into the New Testament and begin to read, you're reading Paul's writings a whole lot of the time. And as we look, and Paul says, I am the chief of sinners. I know that Paul probably lived a better life than I do. And here he is saying that he is the chief of sinners. And yet that sin, when it comes into our life, whether it be doing things that we shouldn't or whether it be not doing the things that we should, that sin separates us in our relationship with God. That sin puts us in a place, Isaiah chapter number 59, verse number 2, but your iniquities has separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, listen, that He will not hear you. Have you ever been in a place in your Christian life? Listen, I can remember in my teenage years that there were times when I was in church three times a week. I was in Sunday school. I was in the youth choir. But there was things in my life that shouldn't be there. There was things that just absolutely should not been part of my Christian life. You know, I would give anything to go back to high school right now and I'm not saying that I still would. I'm just saying I would give anything to know then what I know now and go back and let my light shine for Christ like I should have when I was in high school. I would give anything to go back. You know, I can remember at one time, I can't even say the word right, so I'm going to just say it my way. I wanted to finish number one in my class so that I could give the speech on graduation day and tell others about Christ. I can remember having that goal as an eighth grader, as a ninth grader, as something like that. And then I drew away from God a little bit, and that no longer was a goal of mine, and I let it slip away from me. I can remember wanting to have that opportunity, and it was because that there was little bits and pieces of sin. No, it wouldn't run out here and doping and drugging and all that kind of stuff, but there was things in this world that got to be more important to me than my relationship with God. And it got to where it was separating from me from God. And I can remember times I can remember praying, and whether it be because of my emotions or whether it be because I really did have a spiritual block, because the Bible clearly tells us here that when I regard iniquity in my heart, let's read one more verse before I get ahead of myself. Psalms chapter number 66, verse number 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I can remember times getting down and praying and asking God for things, and it felt like my prayer, it didn't go as high as this ceiling. It stopped a lot lower than that. It just felt like there was a block in my prayer life. And I've been there several times in my life, and a lot of times I think it was because there was sin in my life. And I know for sure that sin has consequences in our life. And in verse number 19, he says, look, be zealous therefore and repent. I think sometimes the reason that I'm lukewarm, the reason that I'm not in the right relationship with God, the reason that I'm not on fire for God, look, something to kind of try to compare this to is, you know, when you first get married or you first fall in love with the person that you ended up marrying, man, do you remember how head over heels you was? And I know that there's another church that they were writing to, and he says, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. And we're not going exactly there. But In our Christian lives with God, I can remember when I first met Christ as my Savior. I can remember I was 7, so I was probably in the first or second grade. I don't remember exactly who my teacher was, but I can remember I went in the next day and told her about me being saved. And then, like, the next day we had to write a little paper, and I wrote about my experience of getting saved. And I went around and I read that in every classroom at St. Paul Elementary School. I remember, that was great to be in a school that the teachers thought that much of it to send you from class to class to read that little paper. And I remember getting up and reading it in front of my grandpa's church when I was just 7 years old. And I was so zealous. I was so excited about what God wanted, what God had done in my life. I wanted to tell everybody. That's just like these little youngins now that's getting saved at home, and they're getting saved in their car and everything. They come in here, and the first thing they want to do is tell somebody about it. They want to get baptized. They want to let everybody know that God saved them. But then we grow up in Christ. We mature, and we get to where we know a whole lot more about the Bible, and all of a sudden that zealousness, I'll make that word up, that excitement, it dies. How long has it been since you went into work and just wanted to tell everybody about what God had done for you? When you first got saved, you told everybody. When I first got saved, I told everybody. But it's been a while since I went into work, and when somebody asked me how everything was going, I said, man, God's good to me. I'm saved by the grace. It's been a long time since I've said that. You know what? I have the freedom to do that where I work, thank goodness. I know some of you may not, but I have the freedom. You know, if somebody comes in and first thing I can do is I can jump all over them and tell them about what happened at church Sunday. But you know what happens? Most times somebody say, hey, what'd you do this weekend? Well, we played ball Saturday, and Silas done this, and Maggie done that, and Addie, she done this. Man, we had an awesome time, and then Sunday we went to church, and then weekend's over. I caught myself saying that in the past few weeks. And I made Saturday sound so awesome, and Sunday was, well, we went to church. When Saturday is possible, because who I come to worship on Sunday. Saturday should be just a side effect of the excitement that we have here at Fellowship Baptist Church and of the excitement of what God's doing in our church and what God's done in my life. But so many times, and I know it's because I'm not hot. I'm lukewarm. I'm to the place that I'm not hot for God the way that I should be. In John chapter number 8, you remember that there was a woman that they brought to Jesus, and they caught her in the very act of adultery. All right, and you remember how they wanted to stone her, and how that Jesus asked them, said, okay, you without sin cast the first stone, and as he kneeled down and he wrote something there on the dirt, and I don't know what he wrote, but whatever he wrote, that they began to go away. And then I think it's in verse number 11, he says, woman, where are thine accusers? And she says, well, I have none. And he said, well, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. See, we pray these blanket prayers sometimes. Y'all may not. Let me back up. I pray blanket prayer sometimes. God, if there's anything that I've done, forgive me for it. Hogwash. I know when there's something in my life. If it's something that is separating, that is causing a pinch on my relationship between me and God, I know that it's there. If there's something that I'm regarding in my heart, if there's iniquity that I'm regarding, that I'm holding on to, and it's hindering my prayers, I know that it's there. I don't have to say, God, if there's just anything that's in my heart, forgive me for it. I know that it's there. And I believe until I get sincere with God and say, God, I really want to repent of this. I'm glad that we've got 1 John 1 and 9, that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I'm tickled to death about that verse. I cling to that verse a whole lot in my life. But I'm glad that God is willing to, and he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me of that I don't have to be accountable for that any longer. But I believe that sometimes I can still be in a lukewarm state because I'm not willing to repent, to turn away from it. Because I want you to notice what Jesus told even the woman there. He said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Now, Jesus didn't think that this woman was going to go off and live a perfect lifestyle. He didn't think that she was going to go off and just be a perfect Christian from now on. Neither do I think that I am, and you shouldn't think that you're going to be perfect. But I believe there is absolute difference in our life between living this life and being caught up in this world and things tripping us up and us messing up every day and us practicing sin. There is a complete difference in that in our lifestyles. Here she was practicing sin, and he told her, he said, go and sin no more. And then as we look at David, you look at David in God's word. The Bible tells us that David was a man that sought after God's own heart. And yet we know, and ain't it funny? I mean, I can't remember if it was Lynn or Alan teaching. It was probably Alan if I remember it. But if one of y'all was teaching in Sunday school a week or so ago, and one of you said, what do you think about David? When I say David, what do you think about? And somebody said, David and Goliath. And somebody said, and then I spoke up and I said, I think of Bathsheba. That's the first thing I think of. The Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart, and the first thing that I think of is his downfall. The first thing I think of is his sin. But I think maybe one reason that that does is because I'm so glad to know that I've got a God that even though that David messed up and that David went sideways, that God didn't throw him away. And God didn't say, I don't need you anymore. But we do find after David messed up and after David, there was some consequences of that sin and God sent in David's life. But we do find in Psalm chapter number 51, verse number 12, that David is praying and he says, God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Give me that joy back. Well, you know what? If you're not having joy and you're not having the happiness and you're not fulfilled with the Spirit of God, then you're probably in a lukewarm state. You're in a place where you're just existing in your relationship with God. Peter, if you remember over in the book, in several of the Gospels, but the one that I wrote down was in Matthew chapter number 26. Right after Peter had announced to Jesus, I'm going to go with you all the way to death. I'll never leave you. I'll never deny you. And Jesus says, before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. In the Bible, y'all know the story, the event, how that Peter denied Jesus three times and how that Jesus said that when he looked upon Peter, that Peter ran out and he wept bitterly because he remembered the words that Jesus said. You know, when those things come into our life, those things stand between us and God, and it's hard, it's impossible for us to be on fire for God when this stuff is going on. But I want you to notice that in this, that yeah, maybe David made a mistake. David failed. David fell into the temptation trap. That Peter may not have been as strong as he thought that he was. Jonah, as we talked about him a week or so ago, that even though he ran from God and that there in the fish's belly, that all three of these guys, they repented. David repented and said, God, please restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The Bible tells us that Peter ran out and he wept bitterly. And we know that Jonah, as he was vomited out onto the land, that he went and he done what God asked him to do after that. In our lives, we must recognize that yes, sin comes into our life, that yes, sometimes we don't listen to what God has in store for us, that sometimes we're not seeking God the way that we should be seeking God, that we get caught up in everything that's going on. And it's going to happen from time to time, but it's not a time to quit. It's not a time to say, okay, well, I'm in a lukewarm state, so I'm just going to go on and be cold, but it's a time to repent. When you feel God tugging on you, when you feel that chastisement, when you feel that rebuke coming in our lives, be thankful because that means that God loves you and that you're one of His, and repent. I believe that one of the first things that I must do in order to be hot for God, in order to be on fire for God, is to be sure that there's nothing in my life that stands between me and God. And you know what? I believe that that is something that has to happen daily in my life. Sometimes hourly, sometimes by the minute. You know, we live in one of the best places in this world. I mean, we live right here in a Bible Belt. We passed between here and Pilot Mountain tonight. We probably passed 7 churches on the way here. I mean, we turned in out here at the end of the road and had to turn in between 2 churches. I mean, we're covered up with churches. And it's good that we live like that. And we're so blessed to live in this area. But just going day to day, you accidentally expose yourself to all kinds of sin. I mean, click on YouTube to look up how to fix your golf cart. I mean, just, well, whatever you fixing. I can't fix anything, so I have to look on YouTube for everything. But you just click on YouTube and start look, and don't pay too much attention, but just watch this sidebar over here, what'll pop up. We accidentally, right down the road, ride to Winston and look at the billboards. Turn on a ball game and watch the commercials. You accidentally expose yourself, whether you mean to or not, to all kinds of things that this world is just throwing at us, just constantly. And we have to constantly go, okay, God, I need you to guard my mind. And I don't know about you, sometimes my mind takes a left turn, and I just have to say, God, forgive me for even allowing that thought to come. I don't know where it come from, God. There's so much mess out here flooding in all the time. I don't know where it come from. But God, I don't want that thought to go any further. I don't want that thought to become, I don't want it to manufacture into anything. Stop that right now. God, help me to get my mind back where it needs to go. Or maybe sometimes we have taken a left turn. We're not walking where God wants us to walk. Man, the only way that we'll get on fire for God is to repent and turn away. We got to get back to where God wants us to be in order to have the relationship that God, our relationship with God. I knew when Christ saved me at 7 years old that that was a finished work. I can't do anything to add to it or take away from it. That was a finished work right then. Okay? But my relationship takes maintenance. My relationship takes some effort. I know when I married Autumn that that's a finished work. If I ever cheat on her, she'll kill me. It'll be finished. I know that. So that was a finished work. And we looked at each other and we said, till death do us part. And I know sometimes things happen, but I meant it with everything in me, and I believe that she did, because if we didn't, we'd have been gone a long time ago. Because there's been opportunities and there's been times that it would have been easier, seems like, to go the opposite way, and I believe that. Okay, so even though that's a finished work, and I said, you're mine and I'm yours, let us go for about a year without any maintenance on that relationship and see what happens. Because you know what, sometimes I get really caught up in what I do for a living. I get real caught up in a lot of other things with sports and everything, and I don't do a lot of maintenance on it, and you can feel that thing getting cold. You can feel it get into that lukewarm state. Hey, just in the past couple of weeks, I've been disconnected, absolutely disconnected. And I have felt a strain, and I'm sure she has. She's hung in there with me. But I felt that strain. You take a lack of maintenance on your relationship with your spouse, hey, it's the same thing with God. You know, and the only thing I have to do is reach over and grab her hand and start talking to her again, let everything else go for a minute. That's all God wants us to do. Hey, snuggle up real close to him and say, God, nothing else matters right now. I want to spend some time with you. I want to repent. I want to be back where I need to be. And we can get to where we're on fire for God. I hope that, you know, I get my relationship, I'm about to get myself in trouble, with Autumn back on fire again too. You know that fire that you had when you first got married? That, I mean, when you seen each other, you're just, oh, just fired up. Okay? And then after you've been married a while, that fire kind of dwindles and it kind of dies. And it kind of gets to a place. Some of y'all are doing your best not to smirk at me right now so that I won't lose it up here. But that fire kind of dies. I don't want that in my relationship with my wife, and I sure don't want it in my relationship with God. I want to feel that fire that I know that God can give me in my life. So I believe tonight that not only will our work, sometimes we get to working so much that we're not paying attention to what God's doing in our life. Sometimes we feel like we have no need of God, but I also believe that sometimes we just need to repent and say, God, I'm not hot right now, and God, it's not your fault. It's mine. If you're not where you're supposed to be with God, it's not God's fault. It's ours. We've moved. So tonight as we go through the rest of the week, as we go through the, I mean, it's a continual thing. It never stops. I wish that I could say that this was the only time that I've ever disconnected with my wife because of everything going on around me. But you know what? It's not. And if she stays with me another 20 years, I'll do it again somewhere along the line. And it's a continual maintenance that we have to do. It's amazing how James taught such a great series on how to teach me to be a man of God and how to teach me to be the man at home that God wants me to be. And I think I've not listened to one. I listened, but I don't think I have acted on one word that he had told me over the past few weeks. Because it's amazing how that when God says something your way, the devil will sneak right in there and attack that very thing in your life. And as we go this week, maybe your life is perfect. If it is, I encourage you again to go back and read one of the first scriptures that we read tonight. But maybe your life is perfect with God. Pray for me that I'll get mine there. But if you're like me and you find yourself sometimes taking God's blessings for granted, of maybe having thoughts and stuff flooded in that we don't need to be having, let's repent, get those things out of the way, and let's get to where we're hot for God. When we get hot for God, then the people in this community will definitely know that the God of Fellowship Baptist Church, and I'm going to say that because we're in here tonight, is real, He's alive, and that He can change their life. Lord, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for all Your many blessings. God, I pray that You'll help me, God, as I go through my daily life, God, to know that repentance is important in my life, God, and that asking forgiveness for things that go wrong in my life, God, that's important, but I need to turn from those things and turn to You, God, and draw closer to You. God, I don't want to remain in a lukewarm state. Sometimes we get to the place that we get in a lukewarm state and we even get satisfied in just being in that, and God, I don't want to be satisfied there. God, I want to be on fire for You. I want to have a love for sinners. I want to have love for other Christians in my heart. And God, I want to have a desire to see other people's lives changed. And God, I pray as we come together as this family here at Fellowship Baptist Church, that God, You will put us, God, to where we're living that hot Christian life, that we may influence others in this community, that we'll have a love for them, and that we'll have a desire to see them saved. God, I pray for every family that's represented here tonight, God. Be with them in a special way. Help us all to live a life that's pleasing to You and that points others to the cross of Christ. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen.